My pulpit shrunk. By choice, though. I didn't want them to change anything major. Well, how many are excited about 2020? I really am. There's just a freshness, a new beginning for some of you in your mindset and what you're thinking. And I just believe God's got some big stuff for us in 2020. Amen. It's got to get used to that. And on your checks, you'll have to get used to it as well, because you'll keep putting 2019. Well, listen, I thought for the message today, and I really prayed about it. I had two or three messages in mind that the Lord had been dealing with me on. But this was the one that stood out the most, and that is learning how to trust God. And I can't think of any better time than to start a new year having a better understanding of what it really means to trust God. I hear a lot of people say they love God, but really down deep they don't trust God. I mean, trusting God is relinquishing yourself totally and completely to God and saying, God, I'm going to trust you in every aspect of my life. Now, for a lot of people, that's difficult. But after this message today, hopefully it'll challenge your hearts and you'll begin to see what God wants to do in your life and the accomplishments and the things that I believe can happen in 2020. Three things that I believe will happen. I believe you're going to have a healthier life. You're going to have a healthier spiritual life. And you're going to have a healthier financial life. Because we're going to touch on some of those things today. I mean, listen, trusting God, it's exciting to me. I mean, not knowing how God's going to do something is always exciting to me. And I know some of you are trying to figure out, how's God going to do this? Well, that's God's business, not yours. Amen. He just wants you to love Him and to trust Him. So here's the scripture text I'm using. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Two little verses here, but they really speak volumes. And matter of fact, I could just major on the few things that this is saying alone without even getting into some of my points. And it would be sufficient, but I think God wants our hearts challenged in a way that we can have a greater understanding how we can really trust God. Here's what it says. It says, trust in the Lord. Now listen to this. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, all of your might, all of your heart. Lean not. Here's the problem most people have. It says, lean not to your own understanding. How many know that our understanding gets in the way sometimes? Amen. I mean, that's a message within itself. But it says, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And what will He do? He says, He will direct your path. Now, let me make a statement that I don't think a lot of Christians have realized yet. Do you know that God has a plan, or He has a path for every one of us? Amen. Now, some of us, we didn't realize that after we became Christians, and maybe we took the wrong path at different junctures of our life and whatever. But isn't it wonderful how God gets us back on track? Amen. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. Listen, God has great things for us. And that's where a lot of this excitement is coming, as I was meditating on the Word of God and what I would share with you today. There's just so many things came up concerning 2020. This could be the best year that you've ever had. Do you know that trusting God is at the heart of the Christian life? For people to say, I love God, but I can't trust God, means that you're trusting more in yourself than you're trusting in God. How many believe? I've asked this question before. I asked it to mentioned it to my Sunday school class this morning. How many believe and know that God's smarter than you are? Why don't we act that way? And matter of fact, we're gonna look at some of this today. But you're gonna find that many believers, they struggle at fully trusting God. Their faith begins to wane when adversity comes, or they don't feel like that God answers their prayers quick enough. Has that ever happened to anyone here? God, where are you at? You know, we live in a microwave society, and you know what that's all about. When I was a kid, we didn't have microwaves. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, we had a wood stove. You had to build the fire. I mean, people today, if they had to prepare a meal like that, they'd starve to death. It's just not something that we would ever look forward to, and yet they did. But we live in a microwave society. We want everything and we want it very quickly. God, I just found out today that I need this and I need it today. More than likely, you probably knew it before that day, but nonetheless, you wait till the very last minute and then you expect God to just come on the scene. Listen, trusting God, here's a revelation God gave me years ago. Trusting God is looking beyond what you see and looking at what God sees. Amen. There's things about you that God sees that you don't even know about yet. But often we're just looking at what we see. And whatever we see doesn't always look good, does it? God wants us to look beyond that. If you're praying like we prayed for healing this morning, God wants you to look beyond the sickness at the blessing that He has for you. And that blessing is healing. The price has been paid. Amen. And I know I've heard a lot of talk. It's been on TV as well as just people and friends and whatever, of how much sickness is going around, whatever. Listen, when they come to your door, sickness comes to your door, or afflictions or whatever, don't sign for it. Amen. Amen? Just simply don't sign for it. I mean, if UPS came and there's bringing a bomb, you think I'm going to sign for it? No, I'm going to say just go on down the street. I'm not, but we do. And we're going to find out today what causes us not to trust God. When you're trusting God, you're giving your whole self, relinquishing everything that you represent, who you are, you're representing, or you're giving it totally and completely to God so God can direct your path, so God can have a major part in your life. To love God is to trust God. To trust God is not to trust in yourself. Sometimes we trust ourselves on things that are bigger than what we are. You know, most of the problems we have are all bigger than us, so why would you try to solve them by yourself? God always has the answer. I was just kind of reminiscing, 48 years of pastoring here. Well, it's been 48 this year if I would have made it. but God chose for me to step down before the 48th year was up. But I was just kind of reminiscing over all the things that has happened in 48 years of ministry here at Bethel, starting off with 19 people and still having to work at my architectural firm that I had and whatever. And yet learning really through this whole process, I learned really how to trust God. God wants us to learn how to trust Him completely. I've learned to do that through my physical aspect of my life, through my financial aspect of my life, through my spiritual aspect of my life, but it didn't come easy. It's not like I woke up one morning, I thought, man, this is gonna be easy. No, it's not easy. There's battles that go on all the time, but really what changed everything for me is that I realized that God was smarter than I am and that I could seek His wisdom in every situation through prayer, through fellowship, through reading the Word of God, that I could equip myself that way so when these storms come, I have the ability to face whatever it is because God's got my back. Amen? He's got your back. But often we discount God. We kind of leave Him out of the picture. So my message today is that God wants to show us that He has big plans for all of us. You know, God never gives you a vision without giving you the ability, Him giving you the ability to fulfill that vision. God never calls you to do something without equipping you to do it. So whatever it is that is big in your life, it's always bigger than you. Who would have ever thought, as you look at your life, or I look at my life, at no time did we ever think that within ourselves that we could ever accomplish what we have accomplished. Think about that. I know it's good to have my cousin Janet and her husband, they're from Chicago. They came all the way here to hear me preach. So it's not that, you know, it's much closer if you live in Meeker and Oklahoma City. You can come if they can drive from Chicago. And they're just kind of on vacation. But I was talking to Ron, her husband, And if you don't mind me telling you, you won't be here for another year or two anyway, so it won't matter. But he said that at the beginning of a year or whatever, that he asked Jenny, he said, "Janet, how much money do we have in our account?" And she said, in our savings account, and she said, "Well, we got $3,000. He said, "Okay." And so they kept doing, now listen to me, they kept doing what God told them to do. They sowed bountifully, they served God in every capacity that God had called them to serve in their church in Hammond, Indiana. They live in Chicago, but just not on kind of the border, not very far away. I've been to the church that they attend when Jack Hiles was the pastor there. And so at the end of the year, he said, "Honey, how much money do we have in the account now?" And she said, "As of today, we have, was it 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. It's sounding better, isn't it? Because they honored God. Listen, God is smarter than us. God simply wants us to trust Him in the good times and in the bad times. And often what we're going by what we feel, what we think. What you think and what you feel is not as important as what God thinks. And God wants to bless you in 2020. He wants to bless you financially. I'm not here to talk about tithes, but you can't expect to harvest if you're not going to sow any seed. You got to sow something. I mean, you don't go out there and say, "God, I want a garden. I'd like to have two or three rows of corn and some okra and tomatoes and all this," and never put a seed in the ground. You'll go out there every day and there won't be anything growing but weeds. Why? Because you haven't planted any seed. Listen, there's all kinds of seeds we can plant in our life that we can grow spiritually. We can grow financially. We can grow physically in the sense of getting up every morning and confessing health and not giving in to what we think. Lean not to your own understanding. I've had people already say, "Well, everyone's getting sick. I guess I probably will too." Bad confession. Amen. Bad confession. We're going to see here in just a few moments if I get that far. "Hey, I got a little bit of time. You gave it to me early, Pastor." Amen. I appreciate that. Your trust and dependence on God will guarantee your accomplishments. And I can't say that enough. So here are some things I want you to think about this morning. Number one, trusting God means relying on Him. In every situation, you can't just rely upon Him concerning the big things because you're going to become discouraged. How about the little things? Let's start where we're at. How can you, now listen to me, how can you believe God to heal you of cancer when you can't believe Him to heal you of a headache? Amen. How can you believe God to have enough money to pay your taxes when you can't even believe God for $5? Are you getting the picture? You got to totally and completely rely upon God in every aspect of your life. God has determined a path for you, for all of us, to take in our life. What we've got to do is discover and align ourselves to what God's will is and not what our will is. God has an assignment for all of us. That's what's so exciting. And people say, "Well, are you discouraged now that you've stepped down from pastoring?" No, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged what our pastor's been sharing with us, the messages and whatever. I've seen Pastor Jeff grow exponentially. I mean, since January and what he's doing and whatever. And the thing was, I told you, Pastor Jeff the other day, I said, whenever God spoke to my heart and said, "Turn this over to Him," I told him, I told Pastor Jeff, "I saw something in you that you may not have seen at that time." That's God. It's exciting to see what God is doing. And there'll come a time that He'll step down and God will have someone else that can step in. And God's going to give them an assignment, then He's going to equip them in order to do it. I want 2020 to be a time or a year where you become active spiritually, where you become active physically in the sense of doing things, where God blesses you so much financially that if we want to do anything in this church as far as building, that the funds will always be there. Whenever you're trusting God, God blesses you so you can bless the kingdom. Amen. So we're to trust God no matter how we feel or how we think. And we're to let God do his part. In my Sunday school class, we're not even out of Genesis yet. All the interesting things that we've been covering and whatever. But you look at Abraham and Sarah's life. Abraham thought he could help God out, him and Sarah. And they missed it and produced Ishmael. And here, Ishmael, being of, he would be an Arab country. And here we've got, so we got the Gentiles and we've got the Jews. And there's a battle that's been going on all these years and still going on, even more today than ever before, because they thought they could do it their way. Well, I've got to have a seed so I can, you know, so we can pass on the ancestry to the place where Christ could come. So now they're helping God. Now, listen to me. God doesn't need your help. He needs your obedience. Like Jeff. I can't kick as high as Jeff. I go like, he kicks way up here, but I just barely kick. Well, I can kick higher, but I'd hate to fall on the floor. Then you guys would laugh. So God's going to perform his will for your life when you relinquish control to him. That's the bottom line. You're going to have, now listen to me, you're going to have to rely upon God in every situation in your life. And God's bigger than all of it. Listen, even this, there's times I made wrong decisions, got myself in trouble, maybe financially or whatever. But when I recognized it, I learned from that. I called upon God and I did what God told me to do and God worked it out. Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of God we serve. Here's the second thing. It means giving God glory for every good thing. When I get up in the morning, I give God glory, well, for many things. Number one, I'm breathing. Amen. And number two, I have health. And you know, I have a routine when I get up in the morning. I may be shaving and showering and all that, and I'm just speaking the word over my life. And sometimes I'll start with the Old Testament and go into the New Testament. There are scriptures that mean a whole lot to me as far as the anointing and the power that's behind those scriptures. And so, you know, here we're dealing a lot with sickness, you know. So I may start in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now that, the R there changed in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes ye were what? You were healed. The price has been paid. Then what about your finances, you know? You ever speak life? No, only time people really pray about finances is when they have a financial need. Why don't you get up in the morning and start speaking life over your finances? God will help you get out of debt if you'll be wise in your spending. And if you'll honor God first. Listen, God will get you out of debt. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, our cars are paid off, our house is paid off. Isn't that wonderful? And don't think about lowering my salary, please. No. There's times I've worked for free. So don't even pay me or whatever. Here's the thing you've got to realize. Your job is not your source. It's a means that God has provided. God's your source. You ever look at it that way? God's my source. Whether you ever get paid or whatever, God has the ability to be your source and bless you regardless. And I've said this many times, I've told you, but I want to tell you again. Back in the 80s when we was having a major financial difficulty here at the church because of the oil boom, it went boom, you know, and all the different things that happened, whatever. And we had already established a budget on what we were bringing in. All of a sudden, what's coming in is half of what our budget is. I still remember it so vivid in my mind. For 16 weeks, it wasn't every week, but in a matter of this period of time, God took care of this. There were 16 weeks of salary that I didn't get. And at the end of all of it, I just said, forget it. I don't want it. Just forget it. Because God had met our every need. And people would invite us to go out. Now listen, this is the truth. God set people up. They invited us to go out and eat with them. And they said, listen, God laid it on our heart to give this to you. They gave us a check. I didn't think anything about it. We got in the car, Margaret said, how much was the check? I said, I don't know, but it was $1,000. That happened several times. I thought, boy, this is more money than I make at the church. But I still remember, it's very vivid in my heart, that I sat down when all of this was happening, and we had to make some major changes, certainly in the church, to balance our finances. But I remember me and God just talking, and I said, God, this is your church, it's not mine. And you didn't raise it up so we could go broke or anything. You said you'd meet our every need according to your riches in glory. And God, my faith and my trust is in you. And God just worked it out. Here's the thing God did tell me. He said, I want you to be very, very faithful, and I want you to be honest with the creditors that the church may have. I want you to call them, let them know your situation, but they'll get every penny. And I remember we couldn't even pay the electric bill on time. And the guy, when you don't, there's a guy for business, they send him around to collect. But I would call him and say, we're going to have the money on this date. And this guy came, and he didn't come to just collect. He came in and sat down in my office, and we just visited. So whenever the time came where the money was now coming in, God was blessing and all that, he came, and I told him, I forget his name, but he came, and I said, now listen, this is the last time that you have to come, because we're okay. We're going to be able to pay all of our bills from here on out. He said, oh, man. He said, I've been enjoying our conversations. That's kind of creditors you want, you know, from the standpoint that they have an understanding. We've got to do our part. Now listen, that was our part, but God will always do his part. I believe that with all of my heart. Give God the glory. Turn with me if you would. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Because we rely so much upon ourselves and what we can do and whatever that we kind of leave God out of the picture. Let me show you something that, as a matter of fact, even in Psalms 18:32, it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 13. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. This is what happens to a lot of people. Their heart is lifted up. It's like, I don't need God anymore. I don't need to sow into the kingdom anymore. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, listen to this, my power and my might, that's what the Israelites are, that my power, my whatever and whatever has brought all of this about. No, here's what God said. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is him that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Listen, here's the thing. When people see how God is blessing you, they're going to want what you got. I'm not talking about money. They're going to want the relationship that you have with God. How did all this happen? I just give God the glory and I trust him. I don't give my credit for anything other than just aligning myself and doing what God has called me to do, and the blessings just come in. Isn't that wonderful? That's a good message for 2020. Here's my next point. Very simple. It means also seeking God first. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Read that sixth chapter. It's talking about food and housing and all the different things that you'll need in life. He says, seek me first, and I'll add all these things unto you. I mean, to me, that's exciting. Your responsibility is to stay connected with the Father. That's where the power's at. Let your confidence not be in yourself, but let it be in Him. God's part is to do what He would do or want to do through you. Your part is to walk in obedience and let God do it without fear, without worry, without how's God going to do it. I quit asking that question years ago. It's almost, I'm not saying God said this to me directly, but the thought came to me that because I looked outside and I had three or four gopher holes in my, and I thought, you know, He might be using them to dig up a treasure. As stupid as that is, I thought, don't limit God on what God can do. I went out there and checked. There wasn't anything there but a gopher. But nonetheless, it was a thought that if God has to use a gopher, and the scripture that came to me is that when there was famine in the land, that God sent a raven to feed His prophet, and there was water in the brook and whatever. Stop and think about that. A raven brought fish every day. I mean, you think God's not big? That God's not mindful of His people? Very mindful of us. Here's my last point, and I close with this. This is a good one. It means being willing to wait on God. How many know that's the hardest part? Boy, God, it's almost the 12th hour. How are we going to make it? I mean, we've been there church-wise financially at different times. But I say, well, God's bigger. This is God's business. You think God's business is going to let His business go bankrupt? It's whenever we get over in fear and worry and anxiety and how's God going to do it? It's not your business of how God's going to do it. It's your business to walk in obedience and do what He says that we are to do. Isn't that exciting? Amen. It's my brother the other day, I thought that being... just ministries pastor and helping in different areas of the church and whatever. I thought, well, this is going to give me a lot of extra time. So I went out and I bought a pontoon boat. And I parked it over at my brother's. That was the first mistake. And I realized I didn't have time to even go out on the lake. I went out there one time, I think, or twice. I took my grandson out because they could tube behind it and all that. And then I went fishing with my brother and got real discouraged. I thought, this isn't for me. Because I dropped my line right beside his. He was catching fish and I didn't catch nothing. I thought, so God was speaking to me. You don't need that boat. My brother was waiting for me to say, when are you going to sell that boat to me? Thank God he didn't Jew me down though. Normally, he'll say, I'll give you half of what you pay. So the other day, I called him. I said, listen, if you're interested in my boat, I'm going to sell it. I don't have time. So what you're going to do, you're going to keep using it. You're going to wear it out. And all I'm going to have is a wore-out boat. So would you buy it? He said, I'll buy it. He said, I'll be over Thursday with the money. I thought, well, that's good. But I realized that there's other things in my life that were more important. We bought a travel trailer. God, you're going to have to help me with this. But the thing is, Pastor Jeff and Jill, they were living in it. They gave me an excellent deal on it. And we have never had it out of the front yard. We went out there one night and just spent the night. And Margaret said, this isn't a Hilton here. Or a Best Western or whatever. I can't even get her to. So I go out there and I'll pray and, whatever. And I thought, well, God, if you want me to get rid of this, I'll get rid of it. See, it's not mine anyway. Amen. Are you listening? It belongs to God. And so whatever God says to do, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to wait on God for God to line our life up, even in our last years, which my last year, say 120 from, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You already know, don't you? I'm 60. No. At 74. I've had people come up to me and say, my aunt died. And I said, oh, how old was she? She is 75. I'm like, well, I'm 74. And here they're all dying at 75 and whatever. And I'm thinking, well, that's not me, because for years I've said I'm going to live to be 120. Now, I may not hit 120, but I can hit 100, maybe 110. Amen. And some of you got discouraged with that real quick because I told you that I was still going to be pastoring. So some of them just went on home to glory. They thought, I can't take this any longer. You got to wait on God. Now, the question is this. How do you wait on God? Now, some people, here's what gets us in trouble. When we're waiting on God, our words, our mouth kill us. Amen? Because what we're waiting on, a lot of people don't want to wait on God. Now, you know, God, I can't wait on you. I'm not going to wait on you. This is. I told you 15 minutes ago. This is what I needed, and it hasn't matured yet or come to pass. When you're truly trusting God, God is going to help you to demonstrate your trust by waiting on Him and by what you say, what you speak. Because a lot of people, while they're waiting, it's like, well, I don't think God ever heard me. I don't think God's going to meet my need. You ever heard people say that? I mean, I put up with this for years and whatever. I mean, you're going to have to be faithful to wait on God. And your words will tell you basically how long you're going to wait, because all you're talking is just negative. How many know what Proverbs 18:21 says? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall what? Shall eat the fruit thereof. Here, now listen to me. Here you're trusting God. You say you're trusting God. I don't doubt that you love God, but nothing's happening. And all your confession is, I don't believe I'm ever going to be well. I don't think this is going to work out. What about my finances? I don't know what I'm going to do and whatever. What about my marriage? I mean, this thing is going down the tube fast and whatever. And so we're confessing all of this stuff instead of confessing what God says about your situation. Man, there's been many times that I've rebuked things and whatever, like that song we were singing this morning, one of the song courses. I mean, sometimes it's righteous indignation that needs to rise up within us at times. Amen? So I'm not putting up with this. He's given me power, Luke 10:19. He's given me power. The word power there is exousia, which is authority. He's given me authority to tread upon the serpent, the scorpion, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt me. But see, we go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. Go to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down. Here's the key. Lean not to your own understanding. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's the knowledge of God that's in you. He says, but bring into captivity every thought. So when those thoughts come, like, I don't think I'm ever going to get well. I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. Say what the Word says. My God shall supply my every need according to His riches and glory. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Nay, in all these things I'm more than a conqueror through. See, I can't even, when I say that, there's something on the inside of me just starts jumping. Amen. It's good, isn't it? Come on, stand with me. Every moment is a preparation for the next step. And I want you to see that there's a big picture out there, but often we forget about the things that are in this big picture that has to happen, that we're very much a part of, to bring about through our obedience, to bring about what God wants to do in our life, in our family, in our finances. How many are in agreement? God just wants us to agree with Him. That if His Word says it, let's agree with it. Where two or three agree upon touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. Boy, isn't that powerful? You and your wife start agreeing on things instead of arguing about everything. Well, it's your fault because we're in debt. You ever thought that? No, you've said it. Amen. Work together. How many are truly saved and born again? Raise your hand up high. All right, put your hands down. Bow your heads just for a moment.